Good morning, church. Ohayou gozaimasu for the Japanese team. I'm so encouraged. This morning we pray for the Sri Lankan team, and today a team go out to Osaka. Don't just pray for them in the service, okay? I think we need to continue to keep them in prayer as they serve the Lord. But the men really need to rise up. So touch your neighbor and say, we got to reach out to the men also. Sometimes, somehow, in a lot of churches, the women responds faster. And I think in Church of Our Savior, that's not the case. It's just this trip. I think there's a lot of good men out there who is responding well. And it has already been 2023, already been 6 months. We are coming to the tail end of June. And I think as what Pastor Daniel Teo mentioned, there's a lot of momentum right now in Church of Our Savior, if you notice. God is doing something wonderful, not just with the children, but with the young people and also the young adults. And God is also doing something new with the older children of God. Amen. Those who are old who will amen very loud. But I thought I'll give you a snippet of the camp, the space camp that just finished last week. Because some of you may not have been there and you cannot see what happened. So we actually asked the media team to put up a recap video. So can we show them the video now?
We love space camp.
Space camp. Space camp. Children, are you ready?
To be attentive and persistent. And attentive is to pay attention.
We must be careful on our choices. That's why we must be careful of what we do.
Today in Space Camp, I learned that, like, don't give up and have persistence even though you feel like you want to give up.
I am for an astronaut. Yes, to not shake people.
You are special. I made you this way. You are unique, and you are cool not because of how you look. You are cool not because of what you wear. You are cool because God created you special. When He created everything, the Bible says, God saw everything that He had made, and He was very... Wow! You are a wonderful creation. A small deviation can lead to the wrong destination. And that's why in the space camp, we say that it is not how many points you get for the game, but it is your attitude and your character. As you see the wonders of the universe and the galaxy, that you will believe in Jesus. Now Jesus died for you, and you need to make a decision for Him. If you want to have Jesus in your heart, I want you to stand up and say, I want Jesus. All right, at the count of three. One, two, three. If you believe in Jesus, if you want Jesus, stand up now and say, God, I want you. Praise God.
I learned that a small deviation can lead to a different destination, which means that a small problem can lead to a big disaster.
Which is why we need to be attentive.
It's when you know your son was listening to your sermon. Shall we give glory to God? Isn't it wonderful to see some of these young children, some for the very first time, responding to God? And I wonder if you still remember the very first time you responded to Jesus, when you come to church and you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. You know, last week, Pastor Chili talked about faithfulness and ended by saying that E is not empty, it's actually enough. You have enough for the older children of God to keep going. And I just felt like a sense of God reminding all of us that He is a faithful God, so we must be faithful. But you can't be faithful, but be dragging your feet to church. Right? You can be faithful, but not joyful. You can be faithful, but not passionate. You can be faithful, and something is missing in your life. And therefore, this morning, as I come to share the Word of God, I want to remind us that if you have nothing inside you, nothing will come out of you. But if you have joy, have peace, have love, it will overflow out of you. Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. I wonder if there is joy and love and peace that's overflowing out of you this morning. It's exciting to see the young interns sitting here, paying attention, writing notes. You know, they carry with them the excitement and joy. But I wonder if the older ones, for us, we have been coming to church for a long time, that we still have that passion, that love, that joy that will overflow out of us. Because I think it is important for us to keep being refreshed so that love will overflow. It's like the toothpaste, isn't it? If you have a toothpaste that's new, you don't need a lot of strength to squeeze the toothpaste out. But if it is empty, there's nothing inside, it takes a lot of strength. And sometimes some people use hammer. And I think today we need to remind us as Christians, love must overflow. Turn to your neighbor and say, love must overflow out of you. Say it with love. Don't scold the person. Because if we truly understand the love of God, we are more ready to share the love of God. It reminds me of an old couple that was celebrating their 50th anniversary. And they got married, and they were celebrating their 50th anniversary. So they invited a lot of friends. And many of their friends were curious, how do you stay married for 50 years? What is the secret of your success? To which the husband immediately said, I remember when we were on our way to honeymoon, we were riding horses, and the horse that my wife sat on did not move. And so my wife came down, turned to the horse and said, this is the first warning I give you. Then she went on the horse again. The horse moved a little bit and stopped. She came down again, turned to the horse and said, this is the second warning. Then she went out on the horse. The horse went for a little bit more and stopped again. This time round, she came down. She turned to the horse. She said, this is the third time. She took out a shotgun and killed the horse. And the husband was shocked and said, why do you kill the poor animal? And the wife turned to the husband and said, this is the first warning. I wonder if you come to church out of fear. Well, you can be faithful, but not out of love, right? You can stay faithful in your marriage, and I hope none of you are like that, but it may be not out of love. And friends, I think we can show up every week but yet have nothing to give because there's nothing inside. And so, be reminded that all that we do to God must be compelled by love. And the Apostle Paul, when he wrote the epistle to the Corinthian church, he said this, if we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are radically doing something like this, it is for God. But if it is in our right mind, it is for you. But for Christ's love, it is Christ's love that compels us to do the very things that we are doing. Because right relationship with God will bring out right relationship with others. Therefore, church, this morning, we need to remind ourselves to make right our relationship with God. It's the most important relationship you can have. You know, when senior pastor talk about how the churches are declining, it's not just in Singapore. In fact, everywhere in the world, in America, 80% of Christian young adults will disengage from their faith commitments by the age of 29. Many years ago, when I met my friend that was serving with me in the Christian Fellowship in Poly, he was faithful serving, and I was faithfully serving. And when I met him much later, when we were working, he turned to me and said, you still believe in that stuff? He has backslided, has gone off the rails. His belief has totally changed. The great decline in America has started way back, and today is coming into the ancient countries. The Bible says in Matthew 24:11-13, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. but he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know, there are many young adults that are struggling with their commitments, their stress. And they are like what was described in the parable of the sower, seeds sown on thorny grounds. And they represent those people who are struggling and they are deceived by the world and choke them so that they become unfruitful. And so, friends, this morning we need to remind ourselves it's good to be faithful, but it's also as important to be fruitful. If we are not fruitful, then we can no longer reproduce ourselves and the church will one day die. And that's the very message that the senior pastor is reminding us, that as the church grows older, it must reproduce. But we know, as we serve the Lord, that in our years of serving, we can get discouraged. Wayne Cordero says this, "Sometimes we can be so discouraged to the point that we will jump down on our own. We don't need the devil to tell us lies because we believe in the lies that we have in our own minds." And this morning, the only thing I can think of is that when we are reminded of God's love, when we rekindle our love for Jesus Christ, that changes everything. That changes everything. Remember the first love. I wonder if some of our married couples remember the first time you dated your wife or your husband. You know, my wife loves to hold my hand and always ask me, "Do you still feel the electricity?" Sometimes I'll say, "We are old couple, we don't feel anything nowadays." And then she'll turn to me and say, "We must be like the old couple, you see. They are holding hands even when they are so old." I said, "Please, they are not holding hands, they are supporting one another." But I do understand what she's saying. Because it is important for me not just to hold her hand for support, but to hold her hands because I love her. So today's message about rekindling your first love is found in Revelation chapter 2. And the year was AD 96 when the Apostle John, by then an old man, was actually telling this story, carrying the messages that Jesus has for the seven churches in Asia Minor. And this was 26 years after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And the Bible says in Revelation 1:10, it says this, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet." Now just pause for a moment and think to yourself, the Apostle John was banished, exiled in the island of Patmos. Alone there, how did he know it was the Lord's day? You don't have nice calendar that we receive these days. He must have counted every single day. And the Lord's day, he faithfully kept the Lord's day to worship the Lord. That's faithfulness, isn't it? And that's a reminder for all of us as we continue to stay faithful to come to the Lord's day. Anticipate what God is going to speak to you on the Lord's day. Amen. And on this very day, he was caught in the Spirit. And the Bible says that the Lord Jesus appeared. And in verse 11, it says, "Write what you see in a book and send it to seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamon, to Thyatira, and to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea." He wrote these seven letters, so this message to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And today, we're not just going to look at all of them. We're going to look at only one, the first one in Ephesus. So I want you to read with me some of these verses together. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people." And as we pause there, maybe this morning, some of you have been serving the Lord for many years, and God is also reminding us, Church of our Savior, "I know your deeds. I know your hard work. I know your perseverance. Those who have just finished a camp, I know how difficult it is to run a youth camp, the sleepless night. Then overnight, you have to do this. You have to carry the log, print the admin. I know your hard work. I know how much you have done." But for us to understand a little bit more, we need to go back in time to understand the context a little bit more. Because Ephesus was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Its population is estimated to have 250,000 people in the early days. The word Ephesus means desirable, and in many ways it was a desirable place to go to because it was a center of trade and commerce. And it's situated near the sea, and so it has got the best seaports there. Three of the best seaports there. A lot of trading was going on. It was known for its amphitheater, the largest in the world, designed to hold up to 50,000 spectators. So you must understand this is a big city. This is a city of importance, but yet it's also a city full of idols. It was said by some commentators, up to about 14 different temples. People will crowd there to worship there. There are more than 50 different kinds of gods that people worship. In fact, there was a temple called the Temple of Artemis, the Temple of Diana. They worship this god, and it is so big that people will crowd, and every year it would have tourists coming to worship. And it is considered one of the seven wonders of the world. And it was during this time, in Paul's second missionary journey, that he planted the church. And then in his third missionary journey, he went back there. And he stayed there for 2 years and 3 months. In the first 3 months, he went to the synagogue to preach. And then much later, he went out to this place called the Tyndareus Hall to teach the Word of God, to debate with people. And I tell you, something happened. It was revival. People were turning to Christ. They were throwing away their idols. People were, the people who were making the idols were losing business. And that's why they dragged some of these Christians to the amphitheater. And remember the story in Acts 18 and 19 when they chant and they said, you know, they want to worship Diana and all these people are troublemakers. And not only that, you read all the story of people who are healed because of Paul's handkerchief, and then the sons of Sceva. There were deliverance going on, there were miracles going on, and the church was thriving. And this is the condition, this was the kind of church that we are talking about. But yet the church was also facing different things, because much later it faced persecution, not just from the Ephesians, but also from the Roman Empire. They have to deal with occult practices and sexual immorality in the city, and they have to deal with false teachers. Now, you must understand at this point, they have gone through many years of serving. And then we continue to read in Revelation 2, this is what the Word of God says, that you, the church in Ephesus, you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Now, we are talking about a faithful and A-plus church who stood the test of times and remained faithful. But yet, in verse 4, can we read that together? Go. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Now, if you read through all the text that's given to the seven churches, there's kind of a pattern. The first and the last were given stern warnings. The church in Ephesus and the church in Laodicea. One have lost the first love, and the last church that was mentioned was lukewarm. Was lukewarm. Not good for anything. And in verse 6, it says this, yet this you have, you hate the works of Nicolaitans. Now, the Nicolaitans are a group of people whose beliefs are very close to the Gnostics. They have a false dichotomy between the body and the spirit. They believe that the body is evil, so whatever you do with the body has nothing to do with the spirit. And so they were the group of people that enticed others to fall into sexual immorality and to worship or to eat food offered to idols. And so they were actually bringing people against the teaching of truth. They are in the church. They call themselves Christians. Now, the church of Ephesus have restrained them and stopped them. So this is a church that is faithful and also truthful. This is a church that really loves the Word of God, but they have lost the first love. Friends, as you come to church, I wonder if you have lost your first love. The Bible says, do not forsake your first love. Remember your first love. First can mean the first time you used to do this or first importance. And the best way to describe is always using couples, right? There was a story about this couple that were, you know, married for many years, and the wife wanted to test the husband. You remember where we always eat when we first dated? And then the husband was like, And then the wife said, why don't we go to the place where we have not visited for a long time? And the husband brought the wife to the parents' place. Now, of course, the wife was not very happy because that was the wrong answer. Now, I love doing premarital counseling, and many times I invite these couples to my place, and there was a premarital counseling I remember vividly. It was Pastor Nicholas Day. You know, when he was coming and attending class, he came one hour earlier, and I wrote in my children to actually decorate this heart-shaped lights to welcome the would-be wife. Oh, a lot of trouble. Huh? God, us all working, and we have to switch off the lights and play the music. And when Michelle come near the corridor, we'll play the music, and it was a surprise. And everybody was clapping. I was wondering what I was clapping to. So I asked him, "What are you celebrating? Her birthday or something?" He said, "No, we are celebrating our mansary." I said, "Mansary? You mean you do this every month?" And then my wife would nudge me and say, "Yeah, see lah, see, huh?" Then I told him, "You spoil market, you. Cannot do that in PMC one." Because we cannot continue this, we cannot persevere through, right? But I turned to my wife and I say, "Hey, remember the cards I wrote to you?" He said, "Yeah, you only wrote cards before marriage, not after marriage." Then recently we talked a bit and she said, "You remember before marriage, we used to talk on the phone for 2 hours? I said, "Really? Yeah." "Wow." Then he said, "After marriage, you don't even reply my text now." But as we talk, we start to think about those days when we were dating. And this is a photo of us dating, 1999. 20 years later, we still look quite good, right? And I've been married for 22 years. And I thought to myself, you know, we can take many things for granted, right? Some people have been married for 30, 40 years, and, you know, we used to come to church, sit close to one another, and then you say, "Yeah, amen," together. This time around, you sit there, "I need more space." But as you remember the first love, you will remember how much passion you have in that relationship. Now, think about the passion you have with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm always reminded by the Apostle Peter, because I love to put Luke 5 and John 21 together. Because if you remember, when Peter was caught by Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 5, he was out fishing and the whole night he caught nothing. And Jesus came onto the boat and he said, "Put your net on the other side," and they caught a lot of fish. But when Peter was very discouraged and disheartened, he has betrayed Jesus and Jesus has died. Remember in John 21 when Jesus appeared on the beach and cooked breakfast for them? The same thing happened. They were out there all night and they caught nothing. And Jesus shouted, "Put your net on the other side," and they caught a lot of fish, and they remember it was Jesus. Now, if I'm Peter, I would be wondering, wow, this is the very, very thing that I needed to hear, because this is the first date that he had with Jesus. This is the first time when he encountered Jesus. And so, it was very precious. And on the very beach, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than this? More than all the things that you have acquired, more than all the fish you have caught. Do you love me more than this? And if you love me, feed my sheep, tend my lamb, feed my sheep." I remember my first children's camp in 1985. I share a lot about children because I was rich when I was a child. I couldn't go to church, and I was invited by a teacher to go to this camp called Jesus Cares. And that's me jumping very high. It's the first time I encountered the love of the Christian community. I've never been to church. And it was like the first Christian community I was in. And when I was 10 years old, I was always feeling very lonely. And I was struggling because I don't have a lot of friends. And they wrote a song called Jesus Cares. And the lyrics goes like this: "There may be times when you feel nobody cares for you. There may be times when you feel no one understands. There may be times when you cannot count on friends who said they would be true. In times like this, there is a someone who is holding out his hand. Jesus cares for you. Cast your cares upon him." And I remember singing this song. And if you may, I'm going to sing to you. Because every time I sing this song, I remember the day when I sat there and I learned this song. "There may be times when you feel nobody cares for you. There may be times When you feel no one could understand, there may be times you cannot count on friends who said it would be true. In times like this, there is a someone who is holding out his hand. Jesus cares about you, cast your cares upon him. He will be your friend, right to the end. J-E-S-U-S-E-A-R-E-S, yes, Jesus cares. When I was sitting there, 10 years old, I could understand every single word of the song. And to this day, I could remember because it was my first date, it was my encounter in the camp. And I wonder if you still remember that moment. Even when you don't remember, I want you to know this morning that God remembers. God remembers the time when He reached out to you. God remembers the time when you are in the miraculous peak. God remembers the time when you are so discouraged and you have nowhere to turn to. And He stretched out His hand and touched you. And friends, we need to know that God cares for you the same way like that day that you have been touched. And I want to report to you, recently there was a testimony about one of our cleaners. He thought that God forgotten him, but God remembered him because Patty was actually baptized as an infant in an Anglican church when he was a baby in Malaysia. Now, I didn't know that. For many years, I've been trying to reach out to him, even do magic show for him at the yard. And I remember gathering all these cleaners, so I performed my magic trick and called for altar call. Nobody responded. But we just continue to reach out. And recently, Patty has been wanting to find out more about the scriptures. I gave him a Bible, and he was invited to Jared and Claire's place on his birthday. And after that, on his own, he texts one of our staff, Kailing, and said, "I want to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ." Come on. And it's done because all of you, you show care. In many sense, he was also asked to work in other places, but he said, "Kus is my home." And he has just signed up for the baptism and confirmation class. So come on, let's give glory to God. Encounter. He may have forgotten, but God remembers him. God is sending us. And so friends, remember your first love. Many years back when I was talking about, remembering my first encounter in the Christian camp, I decided to go on Facebook to hunt for my teacher because I lost contact with her, Miss Go. And so I put her photo out without her permission. And then quite quickly, I received a note from Pauline Song, one of our colleagues. And she said that, "You know this lady that you mentioned in your Facebook, She's my neighbor. She's my neighbor." And then I realized that actually, she was staying very near Pauline's mom's place. And so I actually went to meet her. She's in her 70s and she's still teaching. In fact, she couldn't recognize me. She actually got some old photographs and asked me, "Which one is you?" And she told me that out of all her years of teaching, I was the second one that came back to her and said that has become a pastor. There was another person. And so I want to thank God for my teacher. I want to thank God because she was the one that brought me to the camp. And in the camp, I encountered Jesus. And for some of you, maybe you remember vaguely, but you have lost that passion. You have lost that desire to go deeper. The Bible says, consider how far you have fallen. The prodigal son left home and come to the place where he was desperate. In fact, he was eating the food that was offered to pigs. And at that very moment, he was awoken and he said, "I have to go home. I have to go back to my father's place and say, I've sinned against you and against God." And in coming home, he was restored. And so today I'm asking if there's any who's feeling far away from home, the spiritual home. Maybe you're online today. Come home. Come home today because the Father is waiting for you. Come home today because His love is from everlasting to everlasting. Come home because God loves you like the day that you have met Him the first time. As passionately love you as today. Remember your first love. And number two, for us to repent. Repent basically means change your mind. Metanoia. Turn around. Repent from loveless works. Verse 4 says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Verse 5, it says, repent and do the things you did at first. You can do things with no heart. You can do things with no passion. It's called going through the motion. When I was a young intern, I was sent to the, you know, electronic company, and I was helping to solder some circuit boards. You can keep soldering to the point that you fall asleep, you are still soldering because you're going through the motion. And after a while, you know, things will happen because your circuit board will not work, and it's going through the motion. And sometimes in our marriages, it's the same. And I've been married for 22 years, and we are still stepping on one another's toes. And recently, my wife turned to me and said, you traumatize me. She actually used the word traumatize. And I said, what did I do? And I was feeling quite bad about it. And she said, look at the way you hang the towel. I said, what's wrong? This is a nice piece of art, isn't it? I said, this is my prophetic art piece. Trying to show you, you know, blue stands for this. I was trying to explain my way out. And clearly, I've learned over these years that my wife is passionate about certain things. She's passionate about hanging clothes in the right way, use the right color. And she's passionate about washing the dish. The plates must follow, you know, the right order. But not me, eh? I'm passionate, but not for these things. But later on, I realized that she was not telling me to do the exact thing that she was doing. She was basically asking me, can you put heart to what you're doing for me? Can you put heart to it? Can you wash cleaner? Can you don't just throw the towel there, at least put it nicely? You know, I used to put the socks, I put it on the side. It looks like a t-shirt. It's quite cute. My wife would be quite frustrated about that. And later on, I realized that every little thing that I do mean a lot for my wife. And it's the same, I think, for the kingdom of God, isn't it? And if we can do this well, what about the kingdom of God? What about caring for your children? What about those who are poor, who are needy? In 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 to 3, I want you to echo the yellow words, okay? I'm going to read the rest. I want you to echo the yellow words loud and clear. Verse 1 says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, I gain nothing. You are just a sound. You are nothing and gain nothing when you have no love. Also, friends, you cannot serve God without love, because loveless works will only turn us into blind guides. And sometimes we can be so discouraged in our serving that we lost heart in the things that we are doing. It happened to me when I was in a Chinese church as a youth pastor. You see, I was raising leaders, but my leaders were backsliding. I was raising and caring for them, but they were backbiting. They were gossiping. They were lying to one another and lying to me. And I have to deal with some of the toxic culture that was in there in the ministry and confront some of them face to face. But it is out of all these years that we kind of raised some really good leaders, and today they are pastors. But yet in the process, there was a time when I felt so discouraged that I really wanted to throw the towel and say I quit. I told the Lord, I'm tired. And then during that period, I was invited to go to a conference in Malaysia, and there was this Taiwanese pastor that was sharing about how tired he was, and he was about to call it quits. And it was so apt for me. And I was sitting there listening to him. He was explaining how one of the leaders that he raised was a really good leader, went out to the marketplace and was doing very well, and he would not miss church. But he was rebelling against him. And in one of the meetings, he stood in front and then scolded the pastor. And you know what the pastor did that day? And that was the breakthrough and turning around. The pastor went to this leader, hugged the leader and said, "You will always be my son. I'm your spiritual father." And instead of getting angry and offended by the things that the person did or said, he embraced and they reconciled. The man cried, he cried, and they reconciled. I was listening, I cried, I went back to Singapore, and I decided I cannot quit. Because if these are my children, these young people are my children, then I cannot quit. So I went and gathered the 20 out of them and say, "I've come home and learned this. I'm your father." So they jokingly say, "Father Chris, can I do this?" One of the youth leader then, she lost both her parents within 2 years. She has become a staff right now. And those days, we'll invite her to our family, have dinner with her. Ever since I came back from Malaysia, she will always write card to me on Father's Day, and she will always end up by thanking me. You know, "You are my papa, Papa Chris." And it is wonderful that in this community, we are actually a family. And if Pastor Daniel is here, you know, Daniel, we would actually thank him and say, you know, "Thank you for leading us as a spiritual father in this season." And I think it's important for us to know that in this community, when you say tired, maybe Jesus is asking, "Am I so difficult to love?" If you love God more than this, you are supposed to tend the sheep, feed the sheep. And it's all about loving God and loving others. And therefore, repent and turn away from loveless works. And finally, we need to renew our spiritual passion. Repent and do the things you did at first. Now, if you kind of know, the city of Ephesus is located in modern-day Turkey. And if you look at Turkey right now, there are not many churches, you know. There are actually a lot of mosques. And in some sense, the stern warning was given to the church to repent because the lampstand will be removed. Now, I read this again and again, and I thought to myself, the attitude that I think Jesus was telling the church was not one of anger and frustration. It is not saying, "Ephesus, if you don't do this, you know, I'm going to remove your lampstand." But rather, it is out of a compassionate heart. A father's heart that's saying, "You know, if you lose your first love for me, you're going to listen to the lies of the devil because your heart will be so hardened that one day when you walk in church and you will say, 'You know what? I have enough of this. I have enough of this gossip. I have enough of this nonsense. I'm not going to play church. I'm not going to sit around and do anything at all because everybody else is doing this.' You will be so hardened that you have nothing to give and you have gone astray." And I think Jesus is reminding us that if you restore your first love, if you renew your spiritual passion, every single day will be someday new. Every single day you will receive new mercies from God. And you know, when Paul was speaking to the Ephesians, it was very apt that he was reminding them this is spiritual warfare, isn't it? In Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." And this morning, if you want to renew your spiritual passion, take up the armor of God and start resisting the devil and his lies. Spend time with God. Spend time to enjoy intimacy with God. Start reading the Bible again. It's not for us to take a break, but to enjoy. Because our first love means our first importance too. Oswald Sanders says this, "It is impossible for a believer, no matter what his experience, to keep right with God if he will not take the trouble to spend time with God. Spend plenty of time with him. Let other things go, but don't neglect him." James 4:8 says, "Draw near to him and he will draw near to you." I wonder if this morning you have spent time with Jesus before you come to church. Because this is a daily thing. Some people have asked me, "Pastor Chris, you have been busy, you know, doing this and that. How do you cope?" I said, "Well, my morning is very important. Before I actually eat my breakfast. I remember Reverend Edmund Chan says this, no Bible, no breakfast. So I spend time reminding myself, if I didn't read the Bible, no breakfast for me. Right? And nowadays it's also no Bible, no run, no breakfast. Because I love to run before I read the Bible. So God convicted me one day. He said, son, you need to sit down first, calm yourself down, talk to me, read my word before you go out for a run. And of course, in the run, I pray a lot, and that's also my time with the Lord. And I want to encourage you, it is out of that that your tank is filled, that you will always have enough and not empty. And God is reminding maybe some of you here to fill your tank. Start memorizing scriptures. Don't tell the young children, don't tell your grandchildren, oh yeah, I used to memorize this scripture. Can you still recite them? I remember there were many scriptures I actually memorized when I was age of 17 years old. I would go up to this hill and I would start reading scripture and memorize them. But today I cannot recall a lot of them. I remember there was once when I was struggling with temptation and I keep reminding myself, 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But when you are tempted, God will always provide a way out for you to stand up under it. And so some verses will be stuck to you because you have took the time to memorize them. And the word of God will saturate your life so much so that it will come out of your life. It will overflow out of you. So spend time with God, my dear friends. Be intimate with Him because your Heavenly Father wants to meet with you. Love Papa God. Let us enjoy Him. And you will be able to focus on the things of God more than the things of men. Next, spend time with passionate people. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It is easier to pull people down than to lift them up. So spend time with passionate people, with people who are doing outreach. This is a photo of Uncle Tom Hamblin. If you know the ministry of this missionary, he will go out into various places. We work very closely with Pastor Jason Fu. I believe Joshua would know Uncle Tom. He passed away recently. And his life is amazing. Every time he share about his life story, I will be so inspired. And I will come to this place where I want to read the Bible more and I want to go out and share the gospel to someone. And that was that power that he carried. Spend time with people like that. And finally, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. As you look to Jesus, you realize how much he has given to us. And so I like what C.D. Studd said. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then all that you have given, there's no sacrifice that is comparable to what the King of the universe, the Son of God, came down on earth to do for you and I. Because He is God. And yet He came down and He gave His life for us. That's the love that He gave to us. And so today, we need to be like Jesus. Let me close with this story I read many years back. It's a story that was told about a bombing of a city in World War II. You see, in this city, there was a large statue of Jesus Christ and it was severely damaged during the bombing. When the townspeople found the statue among the rubble, they mourned because it was a symbol of their faith. Now, there are many experts that came to repair most part of this statue, but when they come to the hands, it was so badly damaged that they need to put new one to be restored. But when they were trying to do that, the people came together and say, maybe we don't need to put the hands there. Instead, they added a note at the base of this statue of Jesus with no hands with these words, you are my hands. And so the city folks was trying to remind one another that when you see the Jesus with no hands, is to remind that all of us are the hands of Jesus. That we become the hands of Jesus when you go out there and stretch out to lift up the needy. You become the hands of Jesus when you touch those who are downcast and you share the love of Christ. And you can only do that when you are filled with the love of Jesus Christ, when you renew your spiritual passion. So friends, this morning God is reminding us, let His love fill you so much that you become the hands and feet of Jesus. And so in closing, I want to share with us a song that was written by our youth. In fact, she came to me with a sample of a song when our senior pastor was preaching on the finest hour. And when I heard it, I was really touched. And the title of this song is called "These Are Our Hands." How apt for today as we close the service. So may I invite Dorcas to come and sing this song for us.
These are our hands, would you use them, Lord? Use them right for your glory. These are our hearts, would you steer them, Lord? Steer them right back to yours. There are people out there who need you, people yearning for love and for peace. So would you take us and show them your greatness, love, kindness, mercy and grace. We lift up our
just sense the presence of the Lord here, and you know, we want to thank Dorcas, yes, but I think this is a moment where God is using the song to touch us, to remind us that we are the hands. And this is what I'm going to do. I want to use the song, The Goodness of God. As we sing this song, I want it to be your response and your reminder. And as we sing this song, if you feel that there's a need for you to come forward to be prayed for, because you need a spiritual renewal, maybe for a long time you have not felt the love of God, you're feeling dry, but you're still faithful, you're faithfully coming, but you do not want to just be faithfully coming here, but you want to be renewed, that your passion will come back. And as we sing this song, I want you to come forward so that our pastor can pray with you. And I believe there's also people who have backslided and people who have, you know, gone astray. Maybe today you're online, maybe today you just happen to be in church. Your hearts have been far away. But today you want to come home. And as we sing this song, the goodness of God, let it be reminded that God's love has never changed for you. He loves you very much. I want you to come forward. But maybe there are those who have never received Jesus Christ in your heart. And I want to give you this invitation. If you have never received Jesus Christ in your heart, I want you to come forward and say, yes, I want Jesus. I want Jesus to come into my life. So we sing this song from the top. Let us all worship and let us respond as the Lord tug your heart. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
If you want to respond, you can come forward for prayer.
All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
Let's lift up our hands.
In darkest night,
yes, Lord.
You are close like no other.
I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Lord, thank you, Lord.
All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God.
Come on,
your goodness is running out, it's running out.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. All my life you have been. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Just the voices, all my life.
All my life you have.
Come and sing it to the Lord as a reminder for yourself.
So good.
Yes, Lord.
With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Father, we will sing of your goodness all the days of our lives. Renew us with spiritual passion again. Let us not forsake the first love. Let us heed the warning, because we do not just want to be faithful and not passionate. We want you, Lord, to fill us again, and that your love will overflow unto others. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for remembering us even when we do not remember. And so help us as we go out, Lord. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and serve you for your glory. And so now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.